Would you bow your head one more time, please? Father, we're thankful for Jesus. Lord God, we're thankful that you see us where we're at and take us where we need to be. We're thankful, Lord God, that you don't forsake us. We're thankful, Lord God, that you don't give up on us. We're thankful, Lord God, that we don't have to do these things on our own. And this morning, as we just take a moment to look into your word and take a hard look at fear and worry, Lord God, I'm asking that you would speak to each heart. May each heart receive some nugget of truth in their lives. As we serve you and as we walk with you and as we allow you to be Lord of our lives. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to take a look at fear, and I want you to know that fear comes in many sizes, many shapes, and is different for each one of us. What could cause you fear wouldn't be fear necessarily for me, but fear has no barrier. It will attack each and every one of us. There's no barrier that is going to make someone foolproof that they no longer have fear, except what the Lord would take. Did I tell you that I don't like roller coasters? Of course I did. I've told you every chance I get that I don't care for roller coasters. I think it's funny because here I am talking about roller coasters this morning. I had a conversation with Fred, and he's telling me how he went to this amusement park and he sat in the front of the roller coaster and he come up out of it and he was so happy and he throws his hands up, and I'm thinking, man, that's not me. That's not me. I don't like roller coasters. I've told you every chance I can. I don't think roller coasters are fun. I get no pleasure out of climbing up in the air. That sound of that click, 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 that does not bring joy to me. I don't like it. And then they drop you down and cause you to go left and right and up and down. And then sometimes they crash you into water like water's going to make it more fun. That might be okay if you saw the commercial. The Fun Family might like that. But this guy doesn't like that. I don't get any joy out of a scary movie either. I'm not one of those people. I don't enjoy a scary movie. There's nothing fun to me about having an anxiety attack because something you think is going to run right through the TV and get you. I get no joy out of that. I'm not a cliff jumper. I'm not a bungee jumper. I would never jump out of a good airplane for any reason, unless it was on fire. But I am a risk taker. But I like to think that it's a calculated risk taker. Say amen to that. Every one of us has our fears. Every one of us has a point where we're going to do something or not do something. There's things that are going to keep us from accomplishing those things, and they're going to be different for each one of us. But I want you to know, I don't do those things just because I'm scared of them. I don't do those things because I don't think they have purpose for me. Do you get where I'm going with that? Because I will look at that, and I will decide that, what pleasure am I going to get out of this? Zilch. What benefit will I get out of this? Zilch. So, you know, for me, I wouldn't do these things because I'm thinking common sense tells me not to do these things. Now, I would jump into the river and save somebody. I would be the person that would intervene in a traffic stop to try to help somebody. I'm not afraid of blood, so I would get involved in there. I'm good under pressure. But no thanks to thrill-seeking. No thanks for going and doing the dangerous things just because there's something else to do and it will get your blood flowing. See, fear really to me is, it's what you perceive to be scary. Right? Amen? It's what you perceive to be scary. Fred isn't afraid of that. Me, my heart is in my throat. I can't wait till it's over. I fear those things, but that's not why I do it. Common sense tells me not to some of those things you would enjoy. And I'm saying, I'm glad he's happy with that. As long as I'm on solid ground watching him going click, 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 I'm cool with it. If he wants to look excited about it, he wants to throw his hands up, he wants to yell and scream, maybe he'll even call my name while he's running down. I don't care. As long as it's not me. See, I'm not afraid of spiders. I'm not afraid of most bugs. I'm not afraid of water, guns, dogs. I'm not afraid of the unknown. Snakes aren't my favorite. But, you know, everyone has their thing that causes them to be fearful. See, I may be a little different at times. I fear reverencing the Lord. I fear that I am doing what God called me to do. I'm fearful, and if you understand fearful, it's a reverence. I'm fearful that I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm fearful that I don't forget what God has done for me. I'm fearful to make sure that I'm doing all that I can, that I don't forget what he's done and how good he's been to me. I fear that I would be the best husband, the best grandfather, the best father. Not that I'm scared, not that I didn't make mistakes, but I want to do it right. I want, above all else, that when I would pass on, that they would know that I loved her more than anyone else. More than the kids would know that as a father, that I gave everything I could, the grandkids, everything that I could. And I fear that my kids and my grandkids won't love the Lord as much as I do. And that I would do everything I can to make sure they have opportunity. I fear that someone that I would talk to would want to talk about the Lord, but I was too busy. And I kind of was blind to the fact that they wanted to go more than how you doing. Have a good day kind of thing. And I struggle. Maybe I should be laid out. Maybe I'm confessing here. Maybe I should be laid out and be talking to you horizontal instead of vertical. But I struggle with people who have no fear for God. I have struggled with them not worrying about what happens after the moment they die. One moment after they take their last breath, and it causes me to pray for them. See, I realize that I can't get over my fears without the Lord. I don't know how people go through some of life's circumstances without the Lord in their lives. I don't know how they make it through these challenges. And because he is the one that has helped me and stood me up at times when rubber-legged and I had not one ounce of strength to be able to stand on my own. It was at those times that the Lord has held me up. And I don't know how somebody does it on their own. And the older I get and the longer that I serve God, sometimes I realize that my fears are diminished a little bit more than they were because of a closer relationship with the Lord. Can you understand that? That the things that used to scare me don't scare me as much because I'm in a closer relationship with the Lord. And one of the most biblical illustrations of conquering fear to me is David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Because I look at this passage and I look that David lived in an age and a time where the whole army of Israel was scared of one giant. Now that, I guess because I live in this day and age and somebody can hit the easy button or somebody can hit a button and drop a bomb on a whole country, I have a hard time fathoming that a whole nation that supposedly loved God was afraid of one giant. And you look at this and the shepherd David was willing to go after a giant that was tormenting all of Israel. And then I stop and I think, well, why? Why would he do that? And the only thing I can think of is that because at other times in his life, God used circumstances to strengthen him, to build him up, to give him the faith to overcome fear. Whereas all of those others were afraid to step out because of his training of taking down bears and lions, he wasn't afraid to take on a giant when the Lord had asked him to. And when he was asked to step up to Goliath, he wasn't afraid. And he stood there and he said these words. He said this to the giant: "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, whom you had defiled." That's good stuff. Do you understand? He came against that giant knowing that in his own strength he couldn't handle it, but that giant was nothing for his God. And worse yet, you offended me by offending my God, thinking that you were going to take over. So if God wanted to use me, he would. And my question to you this morning is, how many of you could say that to your fears that you're facing? How many of you can trust your Lord enough to step out of the comfort zone and into the realm of battle, knowing that if God wasn't in it, you would not be victorious? See, the definition of fear here is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or is a threat. See, phobias are just fears that you haven't mastered. It's the root cause of worry is what? Negative emotion. When like 90% of what you worry about never happens, it's a negative emotion that causes you to perceive a threat that really isn't there because it hasn't happened yet. Causes you anxiousness and uneasiness. Causes you to be uncertain of the outcome. So this morning I'm asking you, do you want to be fearful or fearless? And the difference is going to be how you look at your situation and who's your strength and whose strength are you working it in yours or in your God's? Fear can either paralyze you or it can cause you to take your fears to the Lord and allow him to empower you to do something heroic or maybe even supernatural. You have a choice. You can have a choice of being paralyzed. That's the deer in the headlights. That's why the lion roars, to stop you and paralyze you and cause you not to move forward. Or you can take that fear to the Lord. And trust me, when I'm on a roller coaster, I'm taking that fear to the Lord and allow him to empower you to do something amazing. Facing the unknown, would it be easier if you knew the outcome? Huh? I'm talking to you, church. Would you be able to do more if you knew what the outcome was? I'm talking to somebody. If you knew heaven was real and that was your home, wouldn't you not be as scared about what's happening now, today, what you're going to face? Because you know what tomorrow will bring. If the Lord told you that he was going to be with you through a circumstance, is there anything that you wouldn't do? Is there anything that you wouldn't face? I'm getting to a scripture. Now some of you are looking at pastor's holding that Bible, but he hasn't got it yet. Preaching principles. We'll get there. See, I've done a lot of soul searching lately, and I hope you have too. See, and in my soul searching lately, I've been taken to the woodshed by the Lord, and I've also been taken to the altar. And I'm telling you, I need both. Anybody else want to say amen? We need to be taken to the woodshed and sometimes get a good old-fashioned spanking from the Lord, as much as we need sometimes to be taken and led to the altar. And I'm telling you, this preacher needs both. I have to be reminded of the things that God has done, the things that God has shown me that still aren't done, and that I got to keep my eyes on what has not come to pass yet, but that He has said would come to pass, and be reminded that He is still in control. Is He speaking that to anybody else this morning? As a believer, as one that has professed Christ, I have given Christ permission to have control of my life. I have given Him permission to intercede in the fears that I have. Have you allowed Him to do that this morning? See, we've had this theme for the last several weeks of connecting to Jesus. And we talked about pursuing and being the good shepherd of Jesus in our lives and having Him. Is there anybody that wouldn't want Jesus to be the good shepherd and watch out for you? I would say most of us would say yes. But if we're allowing Him to be the good shepherd, would the good shepherd also took us back in line? Took the sheep back in line as they were disobedient. Now maybe we don't like it quite as much. Last week we talked about a message on God's truth, and there were several that said this message spoke to their hearts. And I ask you this morning, did it change your heart? See, because if you think about it, did the words cause you to draw closer to the Lord and less of yourself? Because that would be a connection that the Lord would want. That would be the area that He would want to move us to. He's looking to speak through a message. He's looking to speak through His word. He's looking to speak through other people. He's looking to take you through some of the experiences so that you understand these. And at the end of that, He wants to speak to your heart and draw you closer. And in that, I've been reminded too that there's an adversary who wants to destroy your life as much as God wants to bless it and cause you pain. And He uses circumstances, He uses situations, and at times He uses other people to get our attention. But what I believe He uses most of the time is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of not measuring up, fear of being afraid to the point that you begin to be worrisome, you begin to get angry, you get disappointed, you get resentful, you get anxious. So let's take a look at fear and worry. We got there. They usually work hand in hand. They both disrupt your relationship with the Lord. So if you turn with Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8, let me set this up before we read this short passage. Jeremiah is sitting there, and he's talking about fear. It's the whole nation of Israel again, walking away from God in sin. God addressing the sin that they're in. See, they fear Him, but not enough to allow them to be changed by His word. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land that no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out roots by the stream. It does not fear, but when heat comes, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And if you stop and you think about that for a moment, a lot of the words there are also the words that we read in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks in the way of the Lord instead of the way of sin. Cursed is the one that is cut off and have no fear of God and do their own thing, because they really see that doing your own thing when you stand in the face of a righteous God will bring destruction. Jeremiah says, cursed is the one that trusts in himself, the one who has no fear and whose heart is far from the Lord. He's not going to prosper. He's actually living in a wasteland. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, the one who puts his faith in Christ, planted like a tree at a never-ending stream, who has no fear when trials come. Ends that verse by saying that he's going to bear fruit. Israel had what they called a wisdom theology. It was that God created all things. They knew that. They understood that. It was a divine, established moral law in the universe. Wisdom told them that the universal functions best when God is kept in that moral throne. Those that are righteous understood that. The unrighteous did not fear God and put themselves or someone else in that place. What the writers are telling us is that one brings blessings and one brings curses. One brings destruction. See, you cannot, if you get nothing else this morning, you cannot be full of fear and full of faith at the same time. You cannot be full of fear and full of faith at the same time. As believers in Christ, as children of God, we have access to the Heavenly Father. We have been given an inheritance. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have been given things that allow us to live a life that God intended for us, the abundant life. Timothy tells us that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it tells me there's three things that really cast out fear. The power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Can you say amen to that this morning? Man, why would we want to do things in our own strength? Why would we want to risk falling and stumbling when God says that your fear can be replaced by having faith in Christ, and that God wants to dwell within us and give us the power to overcome? Let it be faith and not fear. Indwelling Spirit of God in our life, pushing out the fear in our lives. Then he tells us that the love of God will push out the fear. Tells us love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but replaces and rejoices with the truth. It's always protecting, always trusting, always hoping, always persevering, always love never fails. You say amen to that? If we understand that today, we can get through these things. If you are full of the love of God, it will push out the fears that hinder you and will build and strengthen your relationship with the Lord. The NIV Bible says that bringing our thoughts under the captivity of Christ is the power of God. The King James Bible says it this way, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Good News Translation says, we pull down every pride obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. That ought to be a big amen this morning. You cannot have the fear that will take you away from the Lord when you allow the Lord to fill you to overflowing with His Spirit. Fill you to overflowing with faith. Fill you full of the love of God. You can't dwell on the past. You can't dwell on anything that feeds your soul, that takes you away from God. Say amen to that this morning. You realize every Sunday morning the battle of all these thoughts that come in my head about the weak and the good and the bad and everything else that takes me before I get to this pulpit. Every one of us has that to some degree every day of our lives. Thoughts come in that we wish didn't come in, and you're asking the Lord to take these thoughts away. There are situations that cause us to go to the deep end of the pool when the Lord says, we're not even there yet. Don't think about that yet. We cannot dwell on anything that feeds our soul that would destroy what God is doing. Read this illustration. It's two explorers were on this safari. It's kind of cute. And suddenly a ferocious lion jumps out in front of them. Now get this. Wisdom here. Keep calm, the first explorer whispered. Remember what we read in the book on wild animals. If you stand perfectly still and look the lion in the eye, he will turn and run. Sure, replied the companion. You've read the book, I've read the book, but has the lion read the book? I want you to know the lion has read the book. The lion has read the book and he roars and makes a lot of noise, but he has to flee in the name of Jesus. He causes us to take our eyes off the Lord, and I'm closing. We cannot allow our lives to be controlled by fear. Can you say amen to that this morning? We cannot allow our lives to be controlled by fear. We also need the wisdom and power of God working in our lives. See, we can't stop driving for fear of a drunk driver. We can't stop going into public places because some maniac might have a gun. We have to live our lives. See, our security may be threatened, but God is still in control of our destiny. Our environment will change, but our God does not. Your world right now may be turned upside down. And you may not even understand at times what's going on. But you can always raise your head high because of who you are in Christ. That this isn't the end of the story, no matter what. Do not let the fears of life keep you from the presence of God. Do not let the fears of life keep you from the presence of God. Anything that draws you away from His presence, you rebuke and you move on. We're not talking about building a bigger church. We're not talking about a bigger ministry. We're talking about finding purpose in our lives. We're talking about living the lives that God intends. We're talking about knowing Him, getting in His presence, reflecting on the beauty of the Lord and allowing Him to do what's needed. See, God initiates a relationship. They call it prevenient grace. God does that. But I want you to know how far and how close is up to us. God makes the first move. How much do you want to know Him? How much will you allow Him into your life? How much will you allow Him to do? Will you allow Him to take that fear out of your life? Will you have the faith that pushes fear out? Will you allow the Spirit of God in your life to push fear out? There's no room for both. The Lord told Jeremiah, and I'm closing here. Wow, I got an extra few minutes this morning. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Those are great words, aren't they? That brings me comfort. That God wants to be in my life. That God wants to empower me in my life. That wants to walk with me. And He wants to do the same for you and I, always. So full of God that fear has to leave. Man, that's victory right there, amen? Would you just bow your head this morning? Father, I believe You spoke to us from the very first word that was said to our time to worship to your word. See, there's not one person sitting here this morning that isn't fearful about something. There's not one person sitting here this morning that could not draw their relationship closer to you. There's not one person here that you don't desire to use, Lord God. And I'm asking, whatever we're going through, that we'd keep looking up. We would allow you to do the things in our lives that you need to. That you would allow fear to be pushed out of our lives, replaced by the Spirit of God. So full of the Spirit of God that we walk in victory even though we're going through hard times. So full of God that people that we come in contact with would sense that God must be doing something in their lives. So full of God that they would have questions about salvation and their future. And God, may we have the blinders off, that we would see it and respond as you would leave us the words to share. I ask these in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Minister to each and every one of us. Lord, you spoke to us. May we grab this nugget of truth and may they change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.